I mentioned this morning that the main word for the New Testament word, a Greek word, is for Thanksgiving is Eucharistia. And we'll show you that in a minute. Okay, there's the title. And here comes Eucharistia. There you go. So that's the way it looks in the Greek on the left, Eucharistia. Catholics have taken the communion service and called it the Eucharist, and it comes from this word, which just means Thanksgiving. This is the noun form of the verb to give thanks, as Thanksgiving would be the giving of thanks. The word identifies, as I traced it through, seven situations when you should give thanks. And as I mentioned this morning, I rejoice when I find seven things. This must be a perfect message then. Here's the number of completion, the number of perfection. And so let's look at this. Now, the goal here is for us to learn the grace of thanksgiving. At any time, you can give thanks. You may be struck by a hit-and-run driver and lay dying in a rainy street and give thanks to the Lord that He revealed Himself to you, that when you die in a few moments, you're going to go to heaven to be with Him. And there is no situation when you cannot give thanks. At the time of the death of my parents, we were mentioning that this morning, they died about 3 years apart, but each time, as much as I miss them and miss the opportunity to talk to them, to receive their counsel, I could give thanks that I knew by their testimony they were on their way to heaven and that I would see them again. So let's learn the grace of thanksgiving. I found this to be true. I've told this so many times, but the first time I was flying was from Bob Jones University home for Christmas vacation, I believe. And Cheryl's brother, Robert, and I were flying back home. So, but he had a car down there, and he had won a car on a contest. And so it was a fairly new car, and so it had big trunk back in those days, in the 60s. It had big trunk space and so on. So he was asked to deliver people to the train station, deliver boxes to this place, take people to all these different places. And ends up that by the time we got to the airport, we missed the flight. Well, like I said, it was the first time I'd ever flown. So I'm thinking, well, that didn't work. Now we have to go back to school for the Christmas vacation, you know. And so we just kind of looked at each other blankly. Neither of us knew what to do. So I said, what we need to do right now is to give thanks for this situation. I said that by faith, not by sight. And so we went over to an area. It was not very busy. We knelt and prayed. And it just a magic thing happened. As I was giving thanks for this thing that I didn't understand, how could His good works be led to our problem like this? It just came to me very plainly that people miss their flights all the time. They have to have some sort of a way to deal with this, you know, one way or the other. So we talked about that after our prayer time and walked rather boldly up, said, we missed our flight. Oh, no problem. The next one's at such and such a time. We just sat down, relaxed, and waited for the next flight. So we had to let our parents know that had been changed. But there is power in giving thanks. There is something that is just calming to the soul, clearing to the mind. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, if there be any praise, think on these things. This is at the end of a long list of things we should think about. But we may think about the recession, or worse than that. We may think about people trying to take our freedoms. You can think about all these things. And we should, from time to time. We ought to be realistic. But look for, and you'll find, the things for which you may give praise and thanks. So how can we do this? How can we gain this grace when our lives are filled with troubles? Satan has laid the minefield out for us. Temptations, trials, problems everywhere. He's had a lot of practice in doing this. Demonic sleuthing. That's not the word. Invisible to see, you know. What is the airplane that they can't see?
Stealth.
They're stealthy, and we can't see them. But we can give praise. How are we to gain this? Well, God shows us seven reasons to give thanks to Him by using this word thanksgiving in seven different situations. Now, it's seven messages, seven points, and so, 15, 20 minutes for each one. We'd be out of here sometime before midnight. But actually, this is a short message, and I'm just not trying to prove anything to you. I'm just opening this up to remind you to give thanks for these things. First of all, thank God for your salvation. Do you know Him? Does He know you? Listen to 2 Corinthians 4:15. For all things are for your sakes. Paul is talking about the problems that he's going through and all this kind of stuff. But he says, all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. Paul says, my struggle and the struggle of all preachers is for the sake of those who believe. And we're willing to go through whatever it takes, because when people get saved, their thanksgiving brings glory to God. Isn't that wonderful? Why have we helped to start a church out in Connersville? Why have we helped to start a church in Deborah Behan? Why have we been involved in sending missionaries our hard-earned money, right? Because we want to see people get saved, and God is not glorified where He's not known. You see? They don't know. But when they know Him, when they've got the truth, then they glorify Him. That's what he's talking about here. Secondly, thank God for your care. For your care. Here's the passage, 2 Corinthians 9:11 and 12. He says, talking to them, he says, you have been being enriched in everything to all bountifulness. Mouthful. Liberality, simplicity. This is the word that they use for bountiful giving. Which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. Your bounty, your simplicity of giving, just giving out of love, not to get anything back, just to help others, causes through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want, the need of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. So twice, once singular, once plural, used in this passage. What is he talking about? Well, they were gathering from the Gentile churches money to send back to Jerusalem. The prophets of that day, God was sending prophecy into individuals. They found out that Judea, Jerusalem especially, is going to be suffering a great famine. A famine in those days was people just dying of starvation. So, they were gathering from all these different churches an offering. And he made it a big deal. It was pretty neat. The apostle would come and say, all right, Open Door have their offering. Yes, we've been gathering it now for 3 months, and here's our, our gathering, and we're happy with this. We think this is an abundant offering. And so he says, all right, put it in a bag. And now choose two or three people to go with me. I want you to know that it gets there, first of all. I want you to know how they received it. And I want them to see your faces. I want them to see you who are the givers. And so they accomplished all of that. And he's talking here about thinking on the other side of the giving, the thanksgiving unto God. As Gentiles, gift to believers in Jerusalem caused them to offer thanks to God, so every provision of God to you should prompt you to give thanks. We recently, in the deacon board meeting, had received news from two of our missionaries that terrible weather was coming on them. And Aries Gonzalez, they were having a super typhoon that ravaged right where he was. And then our missionary, the Pizarros, were there in Puerto Rico, and it was, the hurricane went over them. And so talking about it, we said, well, here are churches the churches themselves, their personal property, the church property, was not, it was inconvenienced, but it wasn't damaged, not seriously. But Brother Pizarro was saying that he was gathering all the money he had left and was buying up things to give to people, water, gasoline for their generators, and stuff like this. So we said we could afford from the bounty in our missions account to send $1,500 to each one of them. And so Aries wrote back to us saying, thank you so very much. He said, thank you very much for extending a helping hand and for your generosity. Last Sunday, and this was October 30th, we were able to give gifts and a cash gift, $250 each, to the six members of our church who lost their crops caused by the super typhoon, that they can start again. Have to start from the beginning. But, and he had a wonderful picture of these people holding up the symbols of their gifts and smiling and, you know, seeing hope for the future and giving thanks to God. And so let's be on that receiving end. We are often, aren't we? We often receive things that we didn't expect. We were sometimes protected when others around us were not. And had an interesting situation in Florida, Boca Raton, Florida, where a Baptist church there had not terrible damage, but they had a steeple knocked off. They had part of their windows broken out and rain and everything, damaged stuff inside the church. So they just were not going to be able to meet for some time. And so the Episcopalian pastor across the street came over, and she was very nice. And she said, why don't we have our service at our regular time in the morning, and then you can come over and have your service in the afternoon. And he said, thank you for that. Thank you for that. And so the Baptists at the care of the Episcopalians be having their services down there right across the street from where they normally meet. But when God reaches out for us, notice those things, jot them down, put them on the refrigerator, do something, and give thanks. Thirdly, thank God as your proper speech. As your proper speech. Ephesians 5, 3 and 4, saying certain things we don't want to talk about. Fornication, all uncleanness, covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saint, if you're saints or you're a holy one, you're a saved person. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking, you know those kind of jokes, nor jesting, he says, which are not convenient, but rather let your mouth be filled with the giving of thanks. The phrase "not convenient" does not imply that some jesting or joking or just inconvenient. Oh, I don't want to go there. That would be hard for me to do. It's not inconvenient. It's that they are literally not up to it, meaning it's not proper. It's not up to a proper level of speech. He says, let's just not dirty our mouth with the filth from a dirty heart. You say, well, I don't know what to say. Give thanks. Another story I tell often was when I was a young man and needed to get a haircut. I'm not bitter. My dad had a full head of hair when he died. And I got this from my mom's father. He looked about like I did. I was at the barber shop waiting, and my spirit was being assailed. The people were talking rough and so on, you know, and guys with guys. That was back when people didn't go to girls' places, you know, for sports cuts and stuff. And I thought, I ought to have a Christian testimony here. But how do I do that? They don't know me. I'm not, you know. Anyway, I got up there and he said, well, how's it going? And I said, oh, I thank God things are going really well for me. I filled my mouth with thanksgiving. There was a lot of quiet in the room right after that. And when the speech came back, nobody was talking nasty and dirty. They just didn't want to do that in front of me. There can be, that was a very positive thing. Well, I'm worse now, you guys talking filthy all around me. But that wouldn't have gone over well. Wouldn't have been an enticing thing. Oh, that guy's nice, you know. So, thank God as your proper speech. Let that fill your thinking. Replace your improper speech with thanksgiving to God. The fourth one is this. Thank God in your prayer. I begin with thanksgiving. I've just over the years just found that sets me right for praying. There may be things that I really want to get to God and ask Him for things for me or for friends or family or whatever. But before I go there, I want my heart set so that I'm thinking the right way about God, and I am full of faith that He would answer. And I do that by giving thanks. And I start by saying, God, over these years, I just go back and think of all the times that You met my needs. When we had no human resources left, that things just happened. And I want to thank You for that. And by the time I'm done thanking God for all these things that He's done, I'm convinced He could part the Red Sea. You know, He's ready to do anything and can do anything. Gets me in the right frame of mind. Well, we see several passages that deal with this. Philippians 4:6, be careful, be worried about nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. That element of thanksgiving says, yes, God can do it and has done it, and He cares for me. So I'm asking with that. Colossians 4:2. Continue in prayer and watch in your prayer with thanksgiving. Don't lose that element. 1 Timothy 2:1. I exhort therefore, and this is Paul telling Timothy how he would exhort the churches there in Ephesus. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men as we pray about the coming election. We do not do this anti-people. We are praying and thanking God for people. I thank God for people that will be willing to stand up in front of the media and say, I want to run for office. I wouldn't want to do that. pair your prayer with thanksgiving to keep it from going astray. You see, you might go to prayer in hopelessness. You been there? Where nothing is working. I've mentioned that I've gone to prayer when I didn't even know how to say anything. I remember kneeling by my bed and just laying my head on the bed and imagining that I was kneeling before my Lord, sitting on his throne, and my head just went into his lap because he's my Father. And I just kind of wept there before him. I couldn't say anything. I had gone to prayer in hopelessness. But thanksgiving will overcome it. That sense of hopelessness when I was at the airport. And God says, it's not that bad. You may start your prayer by demanding from God, you owe me, really? Not a good place to start your prayer. But thanksgiving will overrule it because you're going to see that he's always taking care of you. You may fall into ritual at the time of prayer. You might be halfway through a prayer before you realize that you stopped thinking. You're just letting your mouth do this, you know. But thanksgiving will personalize it. You'll be actually talking to God. So thank God in your prayer. If you're like me, it helps a lot to begin with it, to talk about thanksgiving to God before I get into the prayer requests. The fifth one is this. Thank God for your maturity. Say, well, I'm not as mature as I'd like. I'm not the Christian that I wouldn't want to be. But you're not who you used to be either. And so see your growth. Thank God for your maturity. Colossians 2, 6, and 7. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord when you got saved, so walk ye in him. You receive him by faith. That's how we walk in him. We don't walk in the flesh. We walk in the Spirit. And so we walk in him. Rooted and built up in him. He has the agricultural thing rooted. He has the construction thing built up. Established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. See how far God has brought you from what you were. And just rejoice in that. You say, well, I don't have a lot. Well, think of what you do have. When you have grown in him, you know him. Learn from how you receive Jesus as Savior and grow as a Christian with full faith and trust in him. Just as you rejoice to receive salvation, rejoice to be able to grow in Christ. 1 Thessalonians 3:9. For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God? Now, as Paul gave thanks to God for the growth of these persecuted Thessalonians, so also give thanks for others who grow, not only your growth, but the maturity that you see in others. My wife and I often thank God for the growth we saw in our children, that they were getting it, they were understanding. Your growth will encourage and cause praise by others. I certainly thank God when I see the evidence of your growth. The sixth of our seven is thank God for your food. I have a little pet peeve. Not a biggie. It's a little pet peeve. A little pet. He's a chihuahua of my peeves. Why do people say, would you ask God to bless our food? I remember the joke I heard. Maybe the joke got me thinking, but the little boy says, oh, no, sir, we don't bless the food at our home. My mom was a good cook. I can't find that in the scripture. To ask the blessing for the food. What are we wanting to happen with that? We're going to look at that fried egg and say, be thou blessed, and then we eat it? I'm not sure just how to think about this. See? What I find in the scripture is we give thanks for it. We started calling it blessing, and now we start telling people to bless the food. What's wrong with it? Why does it need blessed? Paul explains this in his doctrine, talks about this, 1 Timothy 4, 3 and 4. He's dealing with the topic of false teachers, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats. And this is the word for food, just general word for food. Foods. Which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. He said, God has removed the food restrictions from us and from the Jews even. For every creature of God, every creation of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. Now, some of you can't thank God for certain foods, you know. I would be willing to eat them. I eat them in chili and stuff like that, but stewed tomatoes. My dad would get a bowl of stewed tomatoes. I go, oh, you took everything out of a tomato that I find interesting. So he'd get that. But, like I say, I find it in my chili, and I just eat it right along, good with the ground beef and the macaroni. And thank God for your food. God has removed the food laws from the church. Those who depart from the faith characteristically demand this for believers. I've heard dynamic preachers saying, you're sinning if you eat potatoes. Really? I'm not going to give up my potato chips for that guy. I'm just not going to do it. So thank God because he not only gives you food, but think of this, he also invented great tasting food. I'm not a hunter or a fisher, but I love eating fish. I love eating venison when I get it. President Dennis is a deer hunter, and he does that for the food. And so he has a venison stew, just wonderful. Bison, one of the restaurants have served bison. And it's really a great tasting beef type of thing. So everything could be stewed tomatoes, you know? Everything could be just that. What do the plants eat? You know, they put their feet in the dirt and just suck up dirt. They're eating dirt. I'm not even going to where the fly, what the fly's eating. You know, come on, really. We could, this would be what we had to do. We had to suck up stuff that was left by others, you know? But he gives us wonderful food. Allows it. And then allowed mankind to invent methods of bringing your food to you from around the world. What a great thing it was to find transportation that would travel around the world. And then refrigeration. We can get our vegetables from South America. How crazy is that? Year round, you know. So there's a lot to thank God about. In the Middle Ages times, if you did not have the food stored up, you starved to death. Or you went to war with the next nation to get the stuff that they had. You know, the winter time was a great time to go to war because people were hungry and wanted more. We can thank God. The last one is this. Thank God for being your God. Have you ever noticed that the gods of the Hindus all look like a bad dream? I mean, there's elephant-headed gods and weird ones with arms, strange arms and all this stuff. They're like man, you took a bad trip with LSD or something, you know, and came up with these gods. What if that was your dear God, you know, a picture of this monster in front of you? But listen to Revelation 4:9, where they're thanking God for being God. And when those beasts, this is we're just living beings, when they give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne who liveth forever and ever, he's not thanking him for doing something here, but for being the God that sat on the throne. Revelation 7:11-12. And all the angels stood round about the throne where Christ is sitting, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God. Now here's the words of their worship, saying, Amen, that's the truth. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. They began and ended with Amen. Normally when Amen is used at the front of the verse, they translate it verily. Verily, verily, that's Amen, Amen. You see, what's happening there is that they are looking to God and saying, I'm so thankful we don't have to worship Satan. I'm so thankful that we're not worshiping some made-up God that's not even there. We're so happy that you're our God who love us and care for us and are powerful enough to do anything you think of. In these passages, there's four living creatures. The word beast is often referred to as wild beast, but this is living things. John, looking at these things, they flip from one place to the other like lightning bolt. And he says, okay, I don't know what they were, but they were alive, so I'm going to call them living things. So living creatures and the angels give thanks to God for being God. That's pretty worthy of thanksgiving. So let us realize that they, the angels, these living things, do not have as much reason to praise him as do we. Dr. Bob's hymn that we sing, what is it called?
My song.
My song, yeah. And in that he says, let me raise my voice above the angels because I have more reason to thank him than they. They have not experienced salvation from death and sin. We do. How great should be our voices of praise. Father, thank you for being our God. Thank you for sharing with us the truth of the Word of God. Thank you, Father, for giving to us the ability to thank you and for you to hear. For these are words that you love. These are things that you've encouraged us. And in seven places, you have shown us through the word thanksgiving that these are things that we ought to look at and praise you. Give thanks to you, the doer, from us to the receiver. With heads bowed, eyes closed, it may be you're saying, I'm not as thankful as I should be. I haven't really spent some time talking to God saying, thank you. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you've not allowed to happen in my life. But I ought to be. And in the month where we celebrate Thanksgiving with all those great foods, let us be the ones who lead others around us to be thanksgiving. If you're saying, I need to be challenged in this area, God help me to learn to give thanks. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up and say, pray for me? Yes, amen. Yes. Father, then we turn to you with thanksgiving and knowledge that you are the great, powerful God and wonderful to us and have a future plan for us that we can barely imagine. We ask that you might help us then to live in this dark world with the blessings you've given and be filled with thanks. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.